You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, Gene Johnson. Buzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show.
Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. You know what time it is. You're here at AfterBuzz TV. We're talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 1, Episode 17. Did I say S.H.I.E.L.D.?
You did.
What was that? I don't know what that was. But the episode is actually called Turn, Turn, Turn. I'm Matt Lieberman. Joining me as always, the fantastic panel. Megan Salinas is here.
Hey, guys.
Kristen Carroll's
here.
Hey,
agents.
Joyce Ajuri is definitely here.
Hello, hello.
And before we get started, it's very nice. It's Joyce's birthday.
And your birthday,
and
Matt.
And also my birthday.
Birthday twin.
Birthday
Yay.
Twins
Zoe
on the show.
Zoe celebrated.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to you.
Who is that? That's not Marilyn Monroe.
It's me on a very late, late night with lots of caffeine.
Oh, nice. Roya Tahiri.
A personal serenade of Roya.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome. I meant that it was your alter
ego. You have a wonderful voice.
Thank you.
I hate you. So, Kristen and Megan got us both some lovely gifts.
Really cool stuff.
We have these realistic smartphone-looking
sound. That's a direct
devices.
Line to Fury, you guys.
Not anymore.
Needs a direct line.
It's a smart cell phone featuring amazing Spider-Man quotes.
And Avengers.
Yours is Avengers, and then we have two little...
Lenticular screen.
Don't knock the lenticular screen.
And you've got your own little set of icers right here.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mine's still in the bag.
Oh, that's what they are.
And we got cool holographic... Well, like, I don't know.
Sweet,
I guess not,
sweet,
Marvel stickers.
Sweet,
that
sparkly
I cannot
Marvel
wait
stickers.
To use.
Oh my God. I can't remember the last time I had stickers.
Shiny stickers. It's not
cool.
Just any stickers. They're shiny.
They're
that's
very
true.
Shiny.
I just have to decide, like, where are you going to put them?
Thanks, you guys.
I'm gonna think about it, and I'm gonna put them on something great.
I'm gonna go ahead and throw it out there. Don't take a nap around these two, otherwise you might end up with stickers all over your face.
Oh, did you wind up with stickers all over your face?
No, but I definitely had a cousin who tried to Sharpie my face one time.
Let's hope that
don't
there's no tomfoolery. Folks, a movie came out this past weekend.
Yes.
Captain America the Winter Soldier.
Wait, what?
Well,
I totally missed
on
something.
Did you not see Captain
you
America?
You do not belong
you totally
here.
Saw, you totally saw Captain America.
I totally got tickets early and went on Friday.
I take your notepad, I take your mug, and I cast you out.
Right. So, I thought the movie was amazing.
It was so good.
I think we all do. We all loved it. We are going to be talking about it more in depth towards the end of the show, just because for folks who just come here looking for the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. commentary, let's, you know, dial that up first, and then we'll talk all about the movie. But
can we go ahead and say spoilers for Captain America?
Spoiler alert.
Listen.
Spoiler alert.
If you haven't seen Captain America the Winter Soldier, you will be spoiled by this. We are going to be talking about it. It deeply affected the Marvel Universe as it is going forward. So it's unavoidable. So if you don't want to listen to anything about it, you still want to go see it, go see it,
well,
come back,
I feel like
we'll
the,
be waiting
yeah,
for
and
it.
The episode kind of spoiled
the episode very
the
yeah.
movie anyway.
Right, but if you want like the rest of the details,
yeah,
because we'll be talking about those. Anyway.
You mean when...
exactly when that happened, yeah.
Oh man, I just pushed the button and something happened with this Amazing Spider-Man thing. Okay. I'm putting the toys away because nothing will get done. All right, so...
Oh, mine works.
In Captain America the Winter Soldier... When we last left off on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the plane was redirecting and something was happening at the hub. We found out what that was in Captain America the Winter Soldier when it was revealed that Hydra had been secretly dormant within S.H.I.E.L.D. for, you know, decades.
Seven
decades. A crazy long amount of time. And they had finally reached the level in their master plan where they could come out and come out into the light. So there's this uprising. ABC has been billing like the last five episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Uprising. We finally understand why. So we drop in right as this uprising is happening, as Agent Garrett, played by Bill Paxton, is in his fancy fighter jet on the way to the Triskelion. That's where the bus was going as well before it got rerouted. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, these shield drones start firing on him, and he nearly dies. Thankfully, the folks on the bus are able to shoot them down. Phil Coulson shoots down these drones.
Did that remind anybody else of Star Wars, or was it just me?
Oh, totally.
That whole scene, I was just like, that was very Han Solo of Coulson right now.
Good job. Don't get cocky, kid.
This was an episode with a broad canvas. It was a big budget episode. We got a lot of great fights.
Tons
we got,
of good fights.
You know, some great effects. It was a very, very solid installment. So the situation that Garrett is dropping into, however, is already tense. Because at the end of the last episode, May's secret phone line, her encrypted line, was found by Fitz. Everyone thinks that she's, you know, some kind of traitor. And now that we know that, they don't know that it's Hydra yet, but they know that something's wrong. So, Coulson refuses to believe anything that she's saying. Mm-hmm. He forces her to reveal what I said, and I think a few of us said last week, that her hard line was directly to Nick Fury.
Which I'm glad.
Yes.
Yeah. I was a little nervous it was to Hand, because you never...
Yeah, I'll admit I thought it was Hand or the Clairvoyant or something.
Yeah, I'm really glad. I know that we were kind of on the fence, like, maybe it's Fury, maybe it's Hand, maybe it's somebody else, you know, within Hydra that we haven't met yet, but... It is nice to know that we're like, okay, May's not the traitor. Yeah. She was reporting directly to Fury.
And we kind of felt that way in the last episode when we knew that she seemed... Well, we felt she seemed really sincere mm-hmm. when she was trying to explain to Coulson, like, I promise, like, this is not... I'm not doing anything, you know, that's intentionally going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then in this episode, we see that continue as she gives some kind of major reveals about her history in coming up with the team... And her feelings for Coulson, perhaps. Felinda fans were probably through the roof. As she says, I did it because you're very important to me. And we're like, ah! Just say it. Don't be a pansy.
That entire scene was so great because not only do you find out, you know, that she lets down some of her walls to really, you know, say how much she does care about Coulson. Mm-hmm. But you find out that from the beginning, this is her team. This was her master plan.
You know, knowing her now, though, it makes sense.
It makes perfect sense.
You don't question it. You're like, oh, yeah, she was definitely pulling the strings on all of this.
I can only imagine, though, how Coulson feels. Because this whole time, I mean, he was the leader, but this whole time he thought that this was something that, you know, he had formed and created, and he seemed so defeated, I guess, at that moment.
Yeah, probably at this point he feels like they've just been watching him dance this whole time.
Yeah.
He's pretty betrayed. And frankly, the most insulting thing, not just that that these choices were outside of his jurisdiction or that he didn't have any power in these decisions, but that the roles, the type of people that are supposed to be on this strike force, on this team of his, were based around the needs of if he goes crazy, if he goes AWOL, if something happens, this is how we'll take him down.
And how terrible for Coulson to realize that if anything like that happened to him, if he did go AWOL or crazy or, you know, he starts showing symptoms, that it's not his fault. It's, you know, whoever put him back together and, you know, didn't tell him what they did.
And May didn't tell him that he knew. Or that she knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, like all this time he's been on a search for, he's been on a hunt for the truth, and she's known the entire time, and it's just sort of let him scramble about from place to place, yeah.
It's incredibly insulting, and it's caused a massive fissure in their friendship. I don't know that it can ever be repaired. It's a deep betrayal. As he says later in the episode, you're an ally, but you are not a friend.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
That totally goes along with the whole theme of this episode and also Captain America, not to trust anyone. And unfortunately, he's learned not to trust someone that he held so closely.
Mm-hmm. He's going to end up trusting her again.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's inevitable.
But it's going to take some time, though.
Yeah.
I think something big is going to happen, hopefully, if they get picked up for season two.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Please, fingers crossed. Please. How is this show still not renewed for a second
season?
You know,
ABC, though, hasn't really released any of them because, like, Once Upon a Time gets huge ratings, and they haven't made an official confirmation yet for that, I don't believe, either. So I think maybe they're just holding off. Like,
sure. Well, I think it's important for the fans to tweet, especially this week, about the show, if you're fans. Because here's the thing. Disney, ABC, they are watching social media very carefully this week
are.
Because nothing like this has ever been attempted. You know, the crossover episode that we had for Thor: The Dark World was nowhere near as intimately connected as this one.
Which is unfortunate because I feel like they should have.
Hmm.
You know, especially, yeah, I mean, I guess they're probably waiting for this one because they did come out, you know, during the same season. But I wish they would have gone into it a little bit more.
Well, I think there's two things.
Well, seeing what they did with this, it was cool. So it would have been cool to have
to
that
have
as
more
well.
Of a connection. I think it's just A, it's easier just because they're members of S.H.I.E.L.D. and S.H.I.E.L.D. is so integral to what Captain America's doing. But then also you have to think about when was Captain America the Winter Soldier being developed and when was it being shot? And it was Thor the Dark World was already in front of cameras by the time that this show was picked up.
Mm-hmm.
So Captain America the Winter Soldier, they had a much better idea of what was coming down the pike, and they were able to plan for it better, and I think that really helped with the integration.
Mm-hmm.
Also, being the second one versus the first one, you learn a lot of lessons.
And if we do get renewed for a second season, excuse me, but yeah, if we do get picked up for a second season, then that gives them more time for all the future movies that are coming out.
Which will be good. You know, if you see like Ant-Man or Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be the summer. And I don't know how much that'll connect because it'll be too big of a break until the season. But
Well, that and that's more Guardians of the Galaxy is in space.
Yeah.
So it's not taking place on Earth. So.
But it still somehow is going to end up.
Right.
It messes with that world.
I wouldn't be surprised if they could link the two.
Mm-hmm. I would say there's two things. One, it's a space movie, and it's more likely than not, it's setting up the cosmic side of the Marvel Universe, and it's setting up Avengers 3 when Thanos eventually comes to town. Mm-hmm. It's setting up the Infinity Gauntlet, probably. I can't say that for sure. But I would not be surprised if our mid or end credits sequence involved one of our alien peacekeepers. Like I can't remember the exact name of them right now. If someone knows it, tweet it. But they're the people who you look in the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer, they're doing a Usual Suspects lineup in basically a police department. I imagine that they liaise with someone on Earth before the end of that movie. In any case, this was a nice crossover. We got to get back into that stuff. We'll talk more in macro later in the show. So we're on the bus, tense, we're trying to get communications back up online, you know, we're basically racing the clock. We're forced to go to the hub. We got to figure out how we're going to escape, how we're going to escape the bus before we all get shot. And they have this this encrypted message that's being sent out across all the S.H.I.E.L.D. frequencies. And it is, you know, we're out of the shadows and into the light. And I thought it was going to be Hail Hydra, but then it was just Hydra.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
It's still pretty funny, though, that, like, it's just like, Hydra. Okay, well, they're here.
It's like a signature. It's like, we're come out of the shadows and into the light.
Sincerely.
Hydra.
So blunt.
Sincerely. Fondest wishes, Hydra.
It's the coming out party.
Yeah.
The parade.
Oh, man. Now I'm thinking about the movie Wild Wild West, and that would take up this whole conversation, so we're not going to do that, because the villain has a coming out party in that movie. It's a great movie. It's the best bad movie of all time. It's so good. Okay. I'm going to talk about iTunes really quickly before we get into the hub stuff. We're going to talk about Simmons and Trip. We're going to talk about Garrett's betrayal. We're going to talk about Skyward or Sky Won't Word. We won't know. But I've made a promise
Sleeping
last week.
Sleeping with the enemy.
I know.
Not yet. Give it time.
I made a promise last week that I would read all of the reviews because I couldn't pull them up on my phone. My phone had died. I'd read all the reviews that we've had since March 11th. So please bear with me. It's my birthday. Don't skip ahead.
And somebody wrote that birthday. They skipped ahead on YouTube.
Oh my God, Dick! I'm gonna find you.
It's
and
his
we're gonna
birthday.
We're gonna have a chat.
Listen to
today's not the day to skip
okay, okay.
over Matt.
Let me do this quickly. Reflex 123, 5 stars, keeping me intrigued. I will fully admit at times I've had a hard time with the pacing of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but that's where AfterBuzz helps me out with a lot of shows. By discussing what happens, tying it into previous plot points, coming up with possibilities, it helps me stay excited about things. Make Mine Marvel and AfterBuzz from Chupacabras X. If you don't listen to this podcast, you don't like this show. A fan cast for fans. Sweet. Prodigious writes, you are the best. Love it. Aww. You are the funniest, most informative, and balanced Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast. Your insights are cool. The best, and what you do is most appreciated. Keep up the good work.
Thanks.
RogersLax24. What's up, RogersLax24? I am a newbie to the Marvel Universe, and this podcast helps fill me in on the background I am lacking. I loved Megan and Matt on Sherlock, and here they are just as good. The other hosts are great as well. keep up the good work, and I don't like Gemma with anyone on the show yet.
I understand. You know what? I'm right there with you.
She deserves someone truly special.
Yeah.
And hey, we all thought Trip was going to be a bad guy in this one, and it's so great to know
he proved us wrong.
I know.
So far, he's leading.
So
away.
Far.
I know. So far. Weird Cluster says, good stuff. The AfterBuzz shows for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hannibal are great companion shows. Keep up the good work. Thank you. Seagrog, which sounds so close to C. Greg, and it makes me wonder. great show. Love the show. Nice to have fans to share the show with. Jay Brizzle 92 says, awesome, great podcast. Rob Brown 226, great podcast. I listen to this podcast the next day the show runs. It's funny and excitement helps me catch the subtle things that I miss. Y'all do a great job and keep me plugged into the show. I appreciate your hard work.
You know who you are.
It's a gibberish name. I'm not being insulting. Someone actually wrote a gibberish name. This is the third AfterBuzz TV show I have watched. They're all great, but this one is the best because of all of you.
Aww.
No, it's the best because of you. Baron F5X, awesome. Love the show, love the podcast. You're all being on home every week. You catch the things I miss, and the podcast feels like geeking out with my friends. You are awesome. Keep it up. Female characters by Poet to Rule. I got thinking in the discussion of this week's episode about the female characters. In the discussion, it got mentioned that the women are all strong, well-rounded characters rather than female character types. Well, this is a Joss Whedon show, so of course they are.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Point. I mean, well, granted, he doesn't actually write on the show, but, you know, you're right.
It's the company. It's the family.
Yeah.
It's the family.
It's all the family.
Same ideology.
But it's important to point out that this show keeps up that tradition.
Yeah.
You know, it could very well could not have been. Good show, great people. Matt, Megan, Kristen, and Joyce are a great combo, giving respect to this good show. They enhance and embrace this stuff. Keep up the good work.
Yes,
really fun show. Always Look for Matt by Mifune Brando. What up,
Mifune Brando?
It's a Librafan. Hashtag Librafans. Oh, God. Kill me. Matt is awesome. I listen to him on this and the Doctor Who AfterBuzz podcast.
Wait, is that a hashtag Librafan? Sorry.
It is. I kind of invented it on a podcast, and I feel really embarrassed about it because no one should come up with the name of their own fan base because that's really, really douchey.
True.
But some people liked it, and they started using it. So if you like it and you want to use it, you should go ahead and listen. He always
it's
makes
your
it,
birthday.
He has an amazing dynamic with Kristen and has great co-hosts and is insightful. And they're all insightful and full of knowledge. That is a review. damn it, now I'm blushing. Okay. Great podcast by Wild Woman Knack. Okay. Love the show, love the podcast. Short and sweet. Mr. Anthrope. Mr. Anthrope, like Misanthrope, a candid review. as with all AfterBuzz shows, a built-in positive of the podcast is its immediacy. It built-in negative is that it tends to be overly apologetic due to its goal to cover so
I'm
many
sorry.
Shows and guests.
Yeah.
We're sorry we're so apologetic. It's
sorry.
You know, it's true. We only have a limited amount of time to discuss these shows, and we want to do our very, very finest in order to bring you the finest possible content.
I take back my sorry.
So we apologize for apologizing too much. It's a fair criticism. It's 403 says, this podcast, only Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast worth listening to. I love
Aww.
That. They cover
awesome.
Episodes thoroughly, but to the point, and have hilarious commentary as well as nice discussions about what could happen. They also taught me what Sculpey was. Marvelous show.
Learning new things.
Marvelous show by James Chesney. I'm so glad I found you guys, hearing other Marvel fans and their theories. He asks, what huge twists do we think could be in store? We'll get into that in predictions. Rogue 9A, awesome show. I'm sorry, you guys. We're running low on time, so I gotta blast through the rest of them. Pharmacy Guy, I love listening to you guys. The AfterBuzz crew rocks. Star-Lord says, after S.H.I.E.L.D. buzz. This is from three days ago. After watching the newest Captain America, I wonder how this series can continue. I not only have full faith in Marvel to continue this show, but I also have complete faith in AfterBuzz to continue their after-show entertainment.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your faith, and we are going to get to that later in the show.
These are so cool. Thanks, guys.
You guys are awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So please keep the feedback coming. Keep the reviews coming. It's what keeps the doors open, the lights on here at AfterBuzz, and it lets us know that you're liking what we're doing. So thank you for your support. Okay. So at the Hub, meanwhile, we've got another uprising. Crazy. And Simmons is trapped in the lab alone.
With Trip.
Triplet.
He fooled us, definitely. I was convinced that he was going to turn against Simmons.
I know.
That he was part of Hydra.
Well, it was during that hollow box conversation.
Yeah.
He offers to bring this hollow box to her so that she can get some help with her research, with the drug, and we're all nervous because he keeps asking about it. And, of course, Hydra would want their hands on this miracle drug that can heal people, bring them back to life.
Mm-hmm.
And, she's talking to the hollow box with her former professor, who is freaking out because there's a siege at the S.H.I.E.L.D. Academy. Meanwhile, Trip just wanders
Agent
off.
Agent Weaver.
Agent
Weaver?
She was the academy. Professor
okay.
that
yes.
was talking to.
And Trip, you know, kind of saunters off into the background and locks the door. And we're all like, oh crap.
Because the last guy she flirted with turned out to be Deathlock, so.
That's true.
Yeah, we're like, way to pick him. Way to pick him, Simmons.
So first you're like, oh, that's cute, she's flirting. And then it's like, oh.
Yeah.
The part that made me think that Trip was for sure part of Hydra is when he asked her, you know, how come if you had the means of saving Blake when he was getting pulverized, then you're in big trouble because you could have saved him and everyone else. And that's when I was like, oh crap, now he's gonna try to, I don't know, take it or something.
Yeah, no, that was like that whole scene was kind of a nail biter for everybody. But the scene that had me was when they were talking and that's the whole scene, is them talking. But when he brings up specifically that, well, darn it, now I lost
the
it.
What?
I lost it while you were talking.
Sorry.
But,
I mean,
it'll come back to me later.
Well, in any case,
I'm trying to stall.
She immediately suspects him. He pulls out a knife, and we're like, oh, snap, this is about to get real. And then he hands her the knife. He's like, here's a weapon. Now we can trust each other.
And poor Simmons is like freaking out. You can see the look on her face.
Yeah.
I remember what I was going to say now.
Remember, you remembered it, so bring it up.
What I really liked was when he said, when he was pointing out all the stuff that, you know, they're really secretive about as a team. And throughout this entire series, we always like how Coulson has always kind of been a little bit of a rogue with mm-hmm. S.H.I.E.L.D. And it never once occurred to me while watching, it's just like, yeah, go Coulson, that from an outsider's perspective, he would look like somebody who couldn't be trusted.
He would look
because
incredibly
that.
Fishy.
That's very true.
Yeah.
It's true.
So
I would never have realized that.
It was when he was bringing up stuff like that, and then when Hand was talking to Simmons, too, like that kind of, it was just a great way of like shifting the perspective where you really don't know who are your friends, who are your enemies in this situation.
But it's a long time coming. I remember early in the season when they first met Hand and they were having this friction, and he and Blake were having friction, where it was that, you know, Coulson was going to go off on his own halfway through the season and bring the team with him, and they would distance themselves from S.H.I.E.L.D. I never imagined that it would be S.H.I.E.L.D. itself that's imploding on itself.
No. Yeah.
But it still ultimately has the same effect. His actions look highly suspicious, incredibly guilty to outside parties, and now everybody thinks that he's a traitor, and they're coming after him and his team. They don't want them dead. They want to know, you know, what they know.
Did they tie the ends of, how do I say this? When Hand was basically telling Simmons that, you know, Coulson, you should be suspicious of Coulson, did towards the end of the episode, did she still think that he was suspicious? Simmons?
No. I think towards the end. Oh, you mean Simmons looking at Coulson?
Yeah, I mean, she was
told. The one thing that she was asked, has Coulson never kept a secret from you?
Okay, yeah, that's when it ended for her, like, right. In terms of realizing what Coulson was doing.
Right. I'm pretty sure that everyone is on the same page that Coulson is not a Hydra agent, but it does register, I think, in Gemma's mind that he hasn't always been the most honest guy, and that maybe she shouldn't trust him as much as she does. Mm-hmm. It's definitely going to lodge itself in her head and spin her off in a new direction.
So maybe he's not a friend, but an ally as well.
Maybe. There's, look, everyone's tensions are running high. Everyone's trust is going to be frayed. I hope that they're able to repair it by the end of the season. But it's really hard to trust each other right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen some major betrayals. None bigger than that of John Garrett.
Yeah.
Let's get into that. So,
that's kind of awesome. Oh. It's just going to... I mean, I'm not, like, pro-Hydra or anything like that, but just, like, it's Bill Paxton. He's a bad guy.
Yeah.
That is he went out awesome. Strong. He went out strong.
He's a great bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But before we even do that, when the bus lands at the hub... So in the movie... both Fury and Maria Hill use these, like, magic doors in the bottoms of vehicles. They cut holes in the bottoms of vehicles and run away. And we learn what that is, and that it was developed by Fitz. They're called mouse holes, and he developed it as a portable way to cut yourself out of any environment.
That was cool to learn the name of it, and then that, you know, somebody that we're attached to is the one that actually, like, invented it.
Hey, Fury, you remember that time that Fitz saved your life? Yeah, yeah, this is that time. Mm-hmm.
Well, the next time that we get a Fury cameo, you should bring that up. Yeah. I think that
just
that
say
would
you're
a lot
welcome,
of fun.
Sir.
Yeah.
Welcome. No big.
I would just like to see Fitzy receiving that handshake and just being terrified. Like, you saved my life. Thank you.
Crying a little bit. Thank tears you, coming down his face. Mm-hmm.
Well, I wonder if they do a cameo. Based off of how they... never mind.
It wouldn't be for a while, probably.
It's very hard to not relay back to Captain America.
We gave the spoiler warning. You can
Yeah. I think it's just hard now because he's quote-unquote dead to most people. Because Coulson doesn't even know. So I feel on the one hand, they need a cameo to kind of let him know eventually. But if they do, like, how do they go
about
that?
Well, it's a great opportunity for an episode... Because, you know, they're in the middle of nowhere and they're following some mysterious signal. And then, you know, they bump into this homeless man who happens to be Nick effing Fury.
That would be awesome.
And
wouldn't
they
it be
join
great an entire
quest.
Episode with Nick Fury?
That would be
I would
fantastic.
Love that.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone would.
Do you guys think that, I mean, we're going from, you know, Marvel movie connecting to the TV show. Do you think we'll ever have an event in the TV show that reverberates into the movies?
I would love to see Coulson show up in the next Avengers movie or in the next, like...
That would work because he was in the previous one.
And just to have all of them go, you're alive! Like, we were worried sick. We were so mad.
Yeah. Here's what I'll say.
I just want Coulson to hug Captain America at some point.
Steve, I'm okay.
For any connection to work the other way, they would have to explain it all organically in the movie. Everyone who goes to Marvel movies has seen all the Marvel movies. Everyone who has watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think, has seen at least some of the Marvel movies. But there are far too many people who watch the Marvel movies who don't watch the show.
I was going to say, it needs to be more popular.
I think if they did something like that, they'd have to, like, kind of just shrug it off as just, oh, it's a long story.
Right.
You know, that's one of those things.
So,
but we love it. That'd
so
great.
When we get to the hub, everyone kind of splits up and we've got Sky and Ward together and we've got Garrett and Coulson and Fitz together. And Sky and Ward, they're hiding in this office or this closet. And Ward takes this opportunity, you know, because we might die tomorrow. Be like, hey, girl. Hey, boo.
He is so selfish with his love.
Let me lay some Mac down on you. I would like to take you up on that drink. It was a mistake not to do it before. And then she totally calls him on it and is like, oh, like you did with May? And we're like, sick burn! We're like, this is great. He deserves it. Shame on you.
Yeah.
You should be more apologetic. He's like, no, this isn't about sex. This is about talking. And Skye totally falls for it and kisses him.
Skye.
Because she's cared about him this whole time.
To be fair, guys, they thought they might. There was a good chance that they weren't going to make it out.
Right.
So if they had died, she'd probably be like, oh, I should have kissed him. I know he was lying, but I should have kissed
him. But now she's going to be like, I shouldn't have kissed him.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, it's very like Grease 2, where it's like, let's do it for our country.
Oh, why do you know Grease 2?
Why doesn't she know Grease? Why don't you know Grease 2?
I've never met anybody who actively quotes Grease 2.
There is a small and vocal population that believes that Grease 2 is better than Grease 1. I'm not among them, but I know at least two of them, and they are rabid for Grease 2. Okay, but let's talk about Skyward here. Okay, yeah, she's wanted him from the start. She's been curious. You know, he says, oh, I'm boring, then goes outside and totally wastes 10 guys.
What a...
So boring.
False modesty. Uh-huh.
So boring.
Right? And she gives him a look that would melt a glacier. And, you know, we have the highest of hopes for these two, but mm-hmm. not anymore now that it appears that he's a traitor. We'll get into that in a bit.
Because he did say at one point, he's like, you know, maybe I should... you know, she's like, don't go because you might die. And he's like, you know, maybe I deserve to. Mm-hmm. So it was like, at that moment, I was like, oh, he's probably Hydra. He's totally Hydra. And then they kissed him. Like,
because
he's being
overly dramatic, which is so
out of his
character to begin with.
Exactly. And he kind of like paused, like, maybe I deserve to. And then I was like, because I killed an innocent man.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it.
Hydra, I'm going to kill more people.
Here's the thing, right? He's incredibly vulnerable for what is maybe the first time in the series. He's very vulnerable, and I think it's because he's realized that he's conflicted. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to be a Hydra agent. That's, you know, he was probably brought in by Garrett years ago when he was in his SO. And now that they're finally pulling the ripcord and trying to take over S.H.I.E.L.D., he has people here. He has a family. Mm-hmm. You know, this team... They trust him, and he trusts them. He loves them, and I think that ultimately he has changed his mind, and that he had to kill Agent Hand in order to preserve his cover as a Hydra agent, so that he can further infiltrate
their organization.
You have to.
He's a prime person to do that because knowing what he went through with his brothers, and. Yeah, I'm sure he followed Garrett because, one, he's, like, cool. And, two, he was a lost little boy.
Yeah.
You know, looking for somebody to look up to. And, you know, they probably promised dreams of, like, you know, well, we're going to get rid of all the enemies beforehand, you know, mm-hmm. sort of a thing. And he probably fell into that and believed him.
And it might not have started that way either because Garrett himself said that, you know, he felt the winds changing and he just decided to change his sails. I think that's one of the reasons why we see Trip at the end not being one of the people carted away.
So obviously Ward was the favorite.
Well, there's that, too.
So there's that. But I think what you're saying, Megan, is that... Garrett changed sides after he and Ward served together.
It's possible, but it's also possible that Ward, you know, joined up before Garrett switched sides, and that, you know, all that sort of idealism and that, you know, the little boy looking up to his SO, that bond was solidified before Garrett tried to change his sails, and we don't know at what point that was.
But then why wouldn't Trip be Hydra?
Because he's the new guy?
or because...
Probably.
Well, we don't know how new he is, first mm-hmm. of all. But it also could be, as you said, Ward is an easy target. He's somebody who had a troubled past, who doesn't question orders, but does have a very firm idea of how the world should be and what's fair. He's someone that they could target very easily, versus Triplett has a bit more personality. He's less of a cog. He's less of a drone. He thinks for himself. And I have to imagine he's very idealistic working for S.H.I.E.L.D. He does it for different reasons than Ward does. And maybe Garrett thought, there's no way if I tell him about this that he'll be on board.
Well, and just he's very self-confident, too. Well, he knows mm-hmm. who he is. I mean, you just see that in the difference of how they interact with the girls that they like. I mean, mm-hmm. how he was how Ward was with Skye at the beginning, and even how he is kind of now where it was kind of standoffish. And, you know, Triplett was hitting on Simmons as soon as he saw her. You know, it's just
exactly.
how he carries himself.
That and, you know, talking about, you know, the members of Garrett's team who have mysteriously ended up dead because of the clairvoyant. It's like, you know, knowing this now, it's like he was killing his own team members in order to keep this secret. So he's probably waiting around to, you know, what he does now that he's changed side is wait around, see if somebody he thinks can be let in on the secret, let them in on it, see how they react. And if they're like, oh my gosh, Hydra, he's like, oh, okay, they gotta go.
Let me ask you guys about the flower dress moment, the moment where he reveals himself to be Hydra inadvertently. Do you buy that Garrett would be that careless?
Maybe a little bit, because I feel like people start to get maybe full of themselves, like thinking he's above everything, and that's mm-hmm. when you make your mistake, is when you think that you've won.
Because the other clairvoyant is dead. Or...
And he's making an emotional appeal to Coulson. So he thinks mm-hmm. that by appealing to Coulson's emotions, that he does have the upper hand, and all he has to do is sell it. Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of thing.
It's probably hard to keep all of it straight, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
It's a lot of information.
It's a lot of lies.
Yeah. I think he is capable of just slipping up like that. I mean, he had that, what's the word, hubris, where he just kind of got, you know, and he got complacent in his hubris and everything, and he just let it out.
Yeah.
Unintentionally. I think that's totally
okay.
Something he would do.
I'm just throwing it out there. I'm sure that there's a fan or two somewhere who didn't feel that way. I personally think with all the stress of Hydra actually coming out of the open without notifying him, by the way, you know, because he's got these shield drones coming after him, mm-hmm. which do you think that they knew that he was Hydra or what?
I'm starting to think that, yeah.
Because that makes sense.
It would make the most sense, yeah.
They're coming after him. He calls Coulson and says, you know, it's not safe. I have to be with you and, you know, hide in plain sight, basically. He knows he has an ally in Coulson. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I like that theory.
It does.
So Victoria Hand is the good gal. Garrett was the clairvoyant this whole time. The fridge is brought up a bunch this episode, which leads me to believe, and I wonder if you guys agree, that some of our old foes that we saw at the top of the season are going to be coming back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're prepping us, because now that we don't have a main threat because the clairvoyant's gone, we need something. We need something dangerous, and we know that Garrett and Ward were on their way to the fridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with the infrastructure of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, what is arguably the world's best defense against these sort of things, you know, minus the Avengers, you know, with the infrastructure in tatters and pieces, yeah, if these things come out of the fridge, there's very little in the way to stop them at this point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's true. I want to talk about Fitzy real quick. Because it's a very quick moment, but he takes a life in this episode.
He does. Mm-hmm. He shoots someone. That was totally a surprise to
May.
Me.
To save yeah. May's life.
Considering she was going to
shoot him in the head.
Shoot him in the head earlier.
With an icy, but, you know.
Icer. She was going to shoot him with a sherry
icy. I was combining night.
Okay. But... he shoots someone, and I have to imagine that with a guy like Fitz, this is a huge moment for him. I don't think he's killed anyone before. Mm-mm. And I think that we're going to see this play out over this last run of episodes. The guy's got to be harboring some serious guilt.
Well, yeah, can we applaud Ian for his act? First of all,
oh my god, the single tear?
Yeah.
Single tear? I was like, bro.
That was really great.
Well done. You brought it this episode, yeah.
No, and just what he said, too. He said something along the lines of, you're going to suffer for what you've done, and I'm going to be a big part of making that happen. And since everybody is still, you know, and since Garrett's still alive at this point, and Fitz is still alive at this point, I think he's going to make good on that threat.
I agree, and I think he's going to be fueled by his guilt. It's going to totally come into play and develop his character in the coming episodes.
Cool.
I can't wait. He's going
to
be so...
And Fitz is going to have to step it up. If Ward really is with Hydra now, he's going to have to
Fitz
step it
gonna
up.
Fitz is going to be the alpha male.
I would love to see that. Okay, what else do we got? Does anyone have any key moments that we want to talk about before we get into more general universe talk and speculation?
Did we decide whether, I don't know if any of our viewers also were a little confused, but we were like, did May get de-handcuffed?
Oh, yeah. They get ready to shoot.
Oh, yeah.
They get ready to shoot Coulson, Fitz, and May, and they take May's handcuffs off to shoot her. which is the dumbest bad guy move I've ever seen.
Because we were all sitting there like, wait a minute, did that actually come off? Like, what was going on there?
For a solid second, I thought it was going to be something like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where it's like, you could have gotten out of those cuffs at any time. No, not at any time.
Only when it was funny. Only when it was funny. But, and May couldn't have gotten out of those cuffs at any time, only when it was really badass. Sorry, go ahead.
No. Never mind. Finish your
thought. No, I was just saying, I'm pretty sure that they let her out of the cuffs, which either they don't know who she is, or they're just big dummies, but it was their undoing.
Do you get some sort of ego trip when you join Hydra? Like, you think that if you unhandcuff Melinda May, that you're going to walk out of that room unscathed?
I mean, anybody who...
They just think because she's a woman.
I mean, everybody has an ego trip if you're trying to take over the world.
That's true.
You have to have a head for that.
All right.
My question is, real quick, if Ward is going to stay along the path of Hydra... What's in it for him? That's my question.
Well, if he is a Hydra agent and he is not working both sides, their big coup didn't work, but they still have, and this is when we're getting deep into movie talk, they still have Loki's staff from the Avengers, which
True.
We saw mm-hmm. in the mid-credit sequence of Captain America the Winter Soldier. They still have resources all around the world. They've captured two of the S.H.I.E.L.D. bases. So, you know.
Well, and they had, you know, Quicksilver and.
Right. They've quit.
And the Scarlet Witch. Yeah.
Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch. And now they have information about the cure. Potentially, they may have grabbed one of the blood samples that Simmons brought to the hub. Mm-hmm. And anyone who's a member of Hydra, they're a true believer. They're going to be focused on the cause to the end. So
totally drink the Kool-Aid.
Well, I still have to wonder, you know, we still don't know what Sky is. She's an 084. And I was wondering if maybe the other reason Ward's not so protective over her is they were saying earlier that people had died for her to live. Maybe Hydra kind of knows what she is. I don't know. But maybe.
Well, it's possible that they have information.
Yeah.
And that's why now he's obviously developed feelings for her because Chloe Bennett's incredibly hot and has great hair every time.
Yes.
But, you know,
look terrible.
Yeah. Yes.
I look so terrible after. Come on. Yeah. But so it's just, I wonder if that's not part of his reason of kind of almost taking her on.
Mm-hmm. Because she's the 084.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
I was actually just going to point out what you were pointing out as soon as we were done having the episode. It's very possible that he's not a Hydra agent, even, you know, because, you know, like you said, it's very possible that he is playing both sides right now and that this is the only way to infiltrate what's left of Hydra.
Right.
And the other thing to keep in mind is just... This was something that happened throughout the entire organization, meaning that everybody who's still around, right? And it was only the carriers that got taken down at the end of Captain America, meaning that everybody who's still claiming to be a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent could very well not be a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. They could just be like, oh, yeah, like, I was totally fighting Hydra people. Yeah, yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D., let's rebuild and make us mm-hmm. better and stronger and hell, Hydra.
It's true. So here are possible scenarios, right? A, he's a Hydra agent, always was. B, he is a Hydra agent, but he's changed his mind and is now going to work undercover. C, he was never a Hydra agent, but he murdered Victoria Hand in order to infiltrate Hydra to learn more about them and report back to S.H.I.E.L.D.
I like C.
I like C, too.
Yeah.
Or maybe she won't be dead. She'll go to Tahiti.
I mean, they do have...
I don't know. They have that close-up of her blood and the hair and... I feel like she's pretty dead.
S.H.I.E.L.D. members have faked their deaths before. I hope that,
you know. Nick Fury just did it.
Yeah, Nick Fury was really good at it.
So I want to talk about the biggest plot point coming out of Captain America the Winter Soldier, which is that they release all of the S.H.I.E.L.D. documents, all of their secrets, onto the internet. And in their eyes, it seemed in the movie, S.H.I.E.L.D. was dead, that there was no more S.H.I.E.L.D., which obviously is not the case. On the show, that's been the big question that people have been asking us on Twitter. What are they going to do? It's not Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore. There is no S.H.I.E.L.D. There is still going to be a S.H.I.E.L.D., I believe, and I'm sure you all agree. but it's going to look very different. The structure is going to be different. All the old leadership is gone, and now they're more of a rogue organization, small and nimble, trying to, you know, ferret out the evils of the world, potentially. What do you think about that? And do you think that now that all of the secrets are out on the web, what are we about to learn about Skye's past and Melinda's and Ward's?
Ooh.
Yikes.
Yeah, that was a really funny, it was just a really quick moment. It was just like, okay, now all the information that S.H.I.E.L.D. has is on the internet and it's trending. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Like that has some huge implications down the road, because now wherever they go, anybody who knows who they are or can figure out who they are has access to their entire, like, to everything they've ever done.
To their dossiers, yeah. To every single one of them. Their file, like, their personal files are all on the internet.
The successful ones, though, like, I don't hesitate to think that, you know, oh, my God, Black Widow. I was like, oh, my God, what's her name? That, you know, Agent Romanoff won't have, you know, she even said at the end of the movie, she was like, you know, I have to go find a new life now. It's kind of exciting for her, and she will, and she'll be okay, and Nick Fury will be okay, and I think all these guys, S.H.I.E.L.D. has, will come back, otherwise it's going to be like agents formerly known as S.H.I.E.L.D., you know?
Yeah. The agents formerly known as S.H.I.E.L.D., yeah.
I think... I'd watch that show.
I would, too. I agree with you. I think they're experienced enough to know what they have to do to protect themselves and to protect, you know, the ones that they're close with. And whatever happens, I mean, they could just, they'll handle
and
it.
And this is the chance, like, if they really, really, oh,
our Captain America.
Oh,
there's a sad panda.
We're so sorry.
It's okay. I'm just zoning you guys out.
But
I wanted to do the podcast regardless, because I love you guys.
Well, thank
you, Roya.
You're
so sorry. Please have a cookie.
Yeah, have this half of this chocolate chip cookie. Come on.
No, wait, we
it's
have a
really
cupcake
good.
For you.
Yeah, there's a cupcake for
consolation.
You. Birthday gift.
The frosting's falling off on two of them.
Yeah.
It's cool. Continue.
We can raffle off those cupcakes.
But this is their opportunity to reshape S.H.I.E.L.D. in any way that they want it. They can form S.H.I.E.L.D. in Coulson's own image.
I like that. He is a spawn.
Just how you did that with your arm, though, that made me nervous. Anybody who can't see Megan right now, her arm slowly raised up in the air.
And your eyes got so big.
Pretty soon she's going to be like, Hail Coulson.
No,
Coulson. It'd be Director Coulson.
Director Coulson.
Isn't Inglourious Basterds reference a good comparison?
Yeah.
So they could be the Inglourious Basterds of...
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Killing Hydras.
Yeah. That's Basterds with an E,
Basterds.
So it's not a curse. Because that's how they spell it in the movie. One thing that really surprised me at the end of Winter Soldier... was that Maria Hill didn't stay to run the remainder of S.H.I.E.L.D., that she quit and went to Stark Industries, because, as we all know in the comics, Maria Hill succeeds Nick Fury as director of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is why when they killed him in the movie, which, you know, I first of all, we all knew wasn't going to stick, but
no. For
a moment, I'm like, wow, it's really amazing. They have the balls to kill Nick Fury this early in the cinematic lifespan of this universe and go with Maria Hill, and that's not what happened. I don't know. How do you guys feel about her being at Stark? I think that's going to play into the beginning of Avengers 2 when he's building Ultron, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what her position at Stark is necessarily.
It's not specified in...
She just showed her in the human resources office.
Yeah, like that's what I thought, too. It just seemed like it was... A position that would underutilize her, and I wouldn't want to see her in that position if she could still be in S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever is left of S.H.I.E.L.D. and help with the reformation.
I had a thought about that. Maybe she didn't officially leave S.H.I.E.L.D. Maybe it's, you know, how we originally met Agent Romanoff, where like she's keeping an eye on one of the Avengers. So if she's actually close to Tony Stark, in case stuff goes down, which it will in the next Avengers movie, that she's already there kind of facilitating it.
It also could be that when Fury calls her in Winter Soldier, that's where she already was, and that when she comes to his aid and winds up rescuing Cap and Black Widow, that she was at Stark Industries in California and flew out to help.
But is she in HR then to like get just, her benefits better? She's like, man, this job is too hard.
It's a good cover.
I had to
she's
take a
hiding
couple personal days. I'm really sorry.
Hiding in plain sight, people. Have you never heard of strategy?
Well, I need more sick days.
I think it'd be really funny, actually, if because Pepper Potts stepped down from being the head of Stark Industries in Iron Man 2. I think it'd be really funny if Maria Hill was running the show now. Because let's face it, Tony Stark
you mean
running
Iron
Stark
Man 3?
Oh. Well, no, in Iron Man 2, Pepper stepped down from being the head of Stark Industries.
Okay.
So I think it'd be really funny if we all know Tony Stark running Stark Industries isn't really his priority.
Nope.
So I think it'd be really funny if she ended up running Stark Industries.
I don't think he'd give it to anyone from
he
SHIELD,
he probably
though.
Wouldn't, but I think it'd be really funny.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of funny, I loved her moments in the movie.
She was great.
She was so great, and she was placed so well in the scenes that she was in. I loved it.
Okay, mm-hmm. I just really like what they did with her and with Black Widow. Like, they actually gave them something to do.
Yeah.
And they were relevant. They were important to the plot. I really liked that.
I really liked, yeah, the evolution of the, pardon me, of the Natasha Romanoff character is really interesting, and I love that they toy with the romance between the two of them, but they don't go for it.
Did anybody notice her necklace
yes.
in the movie?
Yes.
The entire the movie, she's wearing an arrow necklace.
Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, snap. Which,
makes sense.
Everyone's asking, why wasn't he in the movie? Why wasn't he in Winter Soldier? I'll tell you, he's probably on assignment somewhere far away. And that's
he's probably
going to
come back.
That's the explanation. That's
it. We were joking that he's going to come back, you know, with like, I think it was like a joke going around the internet that he'd come back like with Starbucks coffee, and it would be like Troy in the worst case scenario on Community, and everything's just on fire. And he's just like, what happened?
In the worst timeline?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the darkest timeline.
I just want to wait to see his reaction when he finds out that Agent Romanoff kissed Captain America.
He's not going to be happy.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What does that Boy Scout have?
Mm-hmm.
I just like that the girl that he was thinking about taking out from statistics was named Kristen.
I was like, that's so cute. You're like, me, it's me.
She's Agent 13, okay? She's Agent 13. She's professional, okay? That's why she's not going to mix business with pleasure.
Can I? I've been actually saying this like ever since like the scene happened in Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
And sorry, Roya. I feel really bad talking about this, but
sorry,
when they show the AI that you know was this you know former Hydra agent
oh,
who defected
Armin,
to SHIELD,
Armin Zola.
Yeah,
that kind of made me laugh a little bit at first.
I thought that was so awesome. I did not see that coming.
But yeah, when they show that his consciousness was put into this set of computers back in the 70s, and how he developed this algorithm and how basically based on all the digital information from everybody, he could predict whether or not they were going to become a threat. I was sitting there in the theater going, he's the clairvoyant.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
This, like, you know, this is how, you know, it, obviously they said
they
it was a SHIELD agent.
That, yeah.
Yeah, that it was a SHIELD agent who had security clearance. But I was like, no, this is what makes perfect sense because this, he has access to all the data that they're talking about. And he can predict who is, quote-unquote, a threat and what they're, quote-unquote, going to do.
Mm.
And so I'm sitting here going, he's the... Because I, you know, Agent Garrett being the clairvoyant, I like how roguish Agent Garrett is and true. I
but
think
he doesn't
BA.
Seem like a mastermind,
no.
maybe?
He's not a mastermind, yeah. No. He doesn't seem to be the type to sit in the little swivel chair and form strategies and everything like that. He's a shoot first,
know.
You know, make a plan later.
With
make
his,
it up as you go along.
With his hairstyle and his outfit, I could see him stroking a cat in a swivel chair. That's no problem.
Maybe laughing maniacally, but I can't see him plotting anything.
I guess,
can you?
I guess
I think they're
right.
Just using the term more clairvoyant now, it seems. It's just somebody who knows so much in that age. So, you know, in this group,
but,
since he does go towards Hydra, I think they're just calling that
because
they don't know
about... I think
they about...
just make him privy to the information that... that this algorithm provides them.
Yeah.
And it's actually this algorithm that is the quote-unquote clairvoyant.
It's very... it's confusing when they call it a clairvoyant now, because if we're finding out it's AI and it's not an actual person.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep that
I just
up.
Remember we had postulated that as a theory. And so when it happened in the movie, I was like, we were right. Like, we were right. We were right. And it makes so much sense. But then I had people telling me, no, Agent Han's the clairvoyant. And I was like, but this is how they're doing it. This is what's happening. And then I was like, nobody would believe me.
I'm sorry, Megan. That sounds really rough. it does, and I'm sorry. But here's the thing about this movie. What I loved most, and honestly, I'll say this right now, I think it's the best one they've made. I think it's easily the best movie that they've made, hands down. It's the best directed. The screenplay, the twists, most of them you see coming. It's not going to surprise you. If that's what you were going to the movie for, you may not have liked it as much. But in terms of just, like, sheer movie making, wow and delight, and dialing into who this character is and why we like him and what kind of movie it can be, making this almost, like, Bourne-esque, intelligent action thriller steeped in politics.
I was going to say that, too. I was talking to a couple of my friends about it today, and one of them said that it wasn't just a superhero movie, it was also an espionage movie. And I was like, that's so true. That's exactly what it was. And I also liked how IGN called it the Terminator of superhero movies.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah. I was like, that's so
well, he is
true.
Fighting the Terminator, basically.
Yeah. So Bucky will be back.
Yeah.
Indeed. I hope so. Well, speaking of Bucky,
my girlfriend has the biggest crush.
Sebastian Stan.
Sebastian Stan.
I had to do a segment. I had to look up like stuff on him like today at work.
You had to?
Yeah.
Or you wanted to?
You're watching E! News tomorrow. It'll be on there.
I just loved how I imagine that when you all saw it, the theater was absolutely packed. Am I correct?
No.
For me, it
really
was.
It was not. I saw it Saturday afternoon at the Dome in Hollywood in IMAX 3D, and there were maybe 100 people there.
That's about, my theater was maybe about half full, and it was Friday at 7:15.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I went on Friday night.
I was a little surprised.
I was at the AMC down at City Walk, and the theater was absolutely packed.
It's always
See,
packed in Burbank.
Mine was packed, too.
Well, no, this Century was City Walk. This was City Walk. But anyway, so when they do the reveal of who the Winter Soldier actually is, for people who are familiar with the comics, you know who it is. For people who bother to take 2 seconds to Google Winter Soldier, they know who it is. Mm-hmm. But I was surprised at how many people didn't know. And the actual reaction when they did the reveal was absolutely fantastic. It was a combination of, like, oh, my God, it's him. And, oh, he got hot. It was literally like,
Okay. Any other quick thoughts on the movie, or should we go into the straight predictions for the show?
For me, I thought it was just plain. It was just so entertaining. Mm-hmm. And I was reading about the movie, and, you know, it was stated that they wanted to keep the fight scenes as authentic as possible. They wanted to use as little CG as possible. So the actors did a lot of their fight scenes, and Anthony Mackie almost died doing one of his stuff.
Oh, he was awesome. What happened?
Him as Falcon was just amazing.
Oh, he was
wonderful. Was great as Falcon.
So good.
So charming.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly the which stunt almost got him killed, but he said it on, I believe it was Arsenio Hall's show.
Okay.
So he was on there talking about it, and he was so excited, and he almost died.
Damn.
That's terrible.
That's so crazy. And then after that, they had his double, you know, come in for him. He's like, never mind,
maybe
I don't want to die.
This one out.
Yeah.
But it all paid off because the way the action is shot, it's just very physical. It's very brutal. I loved all the fight scenes.
Yeah.
It was just very well directed, very well choreographed, and the CG and the live action are very well integrated. Very impressive.
They really are.
Somebody else who I was really excited that joined the cast, and I want to talk about this a little bit also in relation, because I know I brought up as we were watching it, was Robert Redford. Which
yes, Alexander Pierce.
Pierce, who I love Robert Redford. I was telling you guys, too, there was like a little Easter egg where he had like Newman's own, like the sauce, like in the refrigerator, and because him and Paul Newman had a bunch of movies, they were buddies and all that. But I loved his character, even though he was bad. But do we think the line that was to Fury, I know I said this when we were watching it, when he said Director Fury is dead, and I feel like he's the only other person who maybe could have been in that line, been on the other end of that line, and I was trying to listen really hard.
It wasn't his voice.
But
it might have meant to be the character.
A person almost kind of, trying to be that character. I don't know. I thought maybe that could have been him on the other end, just because he would be one of the few people, I think, who would have access to that.
I guess it depends on how deep into the Hydra takeover we were.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that she called. This whole episode took place over a matter of hours, so it couldn't have been the day that he died, or the day that he died.
Well, because he died a little bit before the Hydra was came out.
Right before it happened, he quote-unquote died,
It was 2 days before. 2 days before the actual, Hydra takeover.
I know, but I mean, it just... So it started at Triskelion, right? That's where it kind of started to go out. So it would almost make sense then, because, the hub would be a little bit later, so that means Fury has already been dead and people know about it. But, they're a little bit behind. They're on their own thing. So that's what I was figuring is, it's not that much later, but it's enough where... It makes sense why they were telling people now that Fury is dead and Hydra, because they found out about Hydra 2 seconds later, and they didn't find that out until a little bit. I don't know. I wonder if it was just me. If you guys think it was true too,
Let us know in the comments down below.
I also want to know if you guys think that Maria Hill knew that they were going to bring Fury back.
Well, yeah, she was the one taking care of him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay, I think it's time we do predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, folks. We got S.H.I.E.L.D. in shambles. We got Ward on the wrong side of the tracks. We got a lot of distrust. Where are the chips falling? What are we thinking is happening next week?
I still think something's going on with Sky being an 084 and Ward being somehow connected to them as a relationship.
And I think if he is, he's going to continue down the path of Hydra, and he is going to, keep a close watch on Skye, that he's probably going to brainwash her to, make her a little more compliant with him, trying to...
I'm doing this to protect you.
Yeah,
I think they're going to have sex, too, at some point. I'm just throwing that out
there. That's a very solid prediction.
That's fair.
I would like to think... that now that all the S.H.I.E.L.D. files are on the internet, we get a big Skye reveal next week, or at least in the next two. I think that she would be very much aware of that and would be looking into it. That's my pick, and I still think that Ward is innocent.
I think that we're going to see the return of some old friends, like Dr. Hall, and was it Donnie that had the ice powers? Mm-hmm. That was his name?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It's been a while. It's been a bit.
Yes.
So I think we're going to see the return of a lot of things that were set up early on in the season, and all of that's going to come
full circle. Patton Oswalt.
He's not an old friend, but he's a new friend.
Yay. He's a new friend, and he's wonderful.
All right. Joyce, where can the people find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter at JAJOURI, on Instagram at IRUOJA, and I was on the Sunday Shameless podcast, but that is no more.
Kristen.
You can find me on Twitter, KristenCarroll13, and now Megan and I are both on the Turn After Buzz on Sundays.
Yep, on Sunday nights. My name is Megan. You can find me on Twitter at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. And yes, I'm on Turn on Sundays.
All right, and you can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman, MattLieberman. You can also find me on YouTube at my YouTube channel, youtube.com/MatthewDLieberman, where you can find all of my AfterBuzz TV videos, SourceFed videos, and sketches. New shows coming out in April, Orphan Black, Mad Men, Playing House, more in the spring, lots more to come. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.